From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Fries surveys local election officials in the Times Union about what they have and do not have to be ready for the current election season. Last week, local election officials were overwhelmed by the deadline to register. Currently, they are sending out applications for voting by mail and absentee ballots and preparing for early in-person voting, which begins October 24th. The last day of the election is November the 3rd, when in-person voting will happen at traditional sites and postmarks need to be on absentee ballots. Local election officials expect a record number of absentee voting and are working on a number of recently enacted voter protections. For instance, in September, Governor Andrew M. Cuomo required election officials to have drop boxes for ballots at every polling site, but election officials have found that only a few companies make the boxes, and county officials across the country are competing to install them in time. Elizabeth Soto, Democratic Elections Commissioner for the Dutchess County Board of Elections, said, and I quote, "I think there was a lack of thinking ahead on how we're going to get drop boxes," end quote. Election officials are also tasked with telling absentee voters about any issues on their ballots. The other Dutchess County Board of Elections Commissioner, Eric J. Height, a Republican, said, and I quote, "Anytime you change the rules in the middle of the game, it's going to cause confusion and strife," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "The electorate is bound to get confused by all these executive orders that the governor is handing down to us without any funding at all," end quote. Local election officials have more to do this fall than past election seasons and did not get the funds Democrats set aside in the second coronavirus bill for the election passed by the U.S. House, but that was never taken up by the U.S. Senate. Doug Kellner, the State Board of Elections Democratic co-chair, said, and I quote, "The governor has provided some funds for security and technical issues, and of course last year the state provided substantial funds so the counties could buy new equipment in order to implement early voting, but there is no new money for the general election coming from the state," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "People need to apply early, fill out their ballots, and get it in the mail early," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Catskill School Superintendent Ronald Cook announced over the weekend the district will delay the start of hybrid learning due to a positive COVID-19 case. Cook said the positive test turned up in an elementary school employee, not a student. The school had employed a phased approach, with all students learning remotely until October 13th, when hybrid learning would become an option. 63% of the district families selected hybrid learning in a recent school district poll. However, Cook said that choice will now be delayed through midweek as the district awaits guidance from the Greene County Public Health Department. The campus was thoroughly cleaned and disinfected over the weekend. Students will continue with virtual learning after the holiday on Tuesday and Wednesday. In the hybrid model, students are divided into two groups. Group A will attend school on Mondays and Tuesdays, and Group B will attend on Thursdays and Fridays. All students will have virtual instructions on Wednesday, when a cleaning crew will scour all buildings. The crew will clean again on Saturdays. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Ben Axelson is reporting for Syracuse.com. Officials in the Adirondack town of Tupper Lake last week refused to officially oppose racism, including the display of the Confederate flag. Town board member John Quinn said when he presented an anti-racism resolution to the board last week that the town has invested tens of thousands of dollars to promote the community to potential tourists and new residents. The Tupper Lake Town Board rejected the proposition, choosing not to vote on or even discuss the measure, which would have established an official anti-racism, anti-Confederate flag policy requesting that residents stop displaying the flag. Quinn said, and I quote, "I'm not trying to encourage this board to step on someone's First Amendment rights. I see this resolution as one not taking anyone's rights away, but saying, hey, you people have these flags on display. You ought to consider what that impact is to the image of this community. We're not ordering it. We're not dictating anything," end quote. Town Supervisor Patty Littlefield said she would prefer a resolution with a more positive stance. She said, and I quote, "I would love to have a resolution that said Tupper Lake supports diversity and equality and all things equal in this community, and please come to Tupper Lake," end quote. Quinn does not plan to redraft and resubmit the resolution. The subject of racism in the Adirondacks is not new. A number of local, regional, and state officials have met and conferred in recent years on the reasons and problems associated with a lack of diversity in the Adirondacks. Read the full story at NewYorkUpstate.com. Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Chief L. Edward Moore said Hudson police are investigating two incidents of shots fired October 11th and 12th. He said no injuries were reported in either incident. The first incident occurred around 11 p.m. Sunday, October 11th, when law enforcement received numerous calls from residents reporting they heard shots fired near North 2nd and Columbia Streets. Moore said police responded to the scene and found one shell casing on the 200 block of Columbia. The second incident was reported at 2:33 a.m. Monday, October 12th, by numerous residents on State Street saying four or five gunshots were heard near the 200 block of Rope Alley. Rope Alley runs between State and Robinson Street. Moore suggested that potential witnesses are refusing to cooperate with the police out of fear. Police believe the two shooting incidents are related. Moore said, and I quote, "We are investigating the two together," end quote. These are the sixth and seventh shooting in Hudson this year. One incident on May 16th left an 18-year-old Stottsville man dead and a 30-year-old man from Albany paralyzed. There's been no progress reported in that investigation. Hudson police ask that anyone with information on the shooting incidents this weekend call 518-828-3388. Moore said all information will be kept confidential. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.